Our scripture reading this morning will be from Colossians 3, verses 11 through 17. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive.
And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. Well, it is a blessing to be with you this morning. My name is Alex Anderson, and I serve here on staff as the pastor of Sunday Morning Ministries and previously Student Ministries before we hired Evan Collister. So it is a blessing to be with you this morning, and it has been so fun to walk through our core values. Has it not been a blessing? Great. These values I see as something that define us. They embody us. They kind of shape us as a church, as Eric said earlier. These values we uphold to believe that are true about our church. Additionally, I've just kind of been thinking this way. These values are a gift to our church. There's things that we can, when we walk in, we can remind ourselves, this is what our church is about. It's about the preeminence of Jesus. It's about the authority of the word. It's about all six of those values. But this morning, I was asked to speak on redemptive community. Now, if you know me, it might make sense. If you don't know me, I was like a little confused for a second when Pastor Mark asked me to teach on redemptive community. I didn't know if it had to do with my extrovertedness. I didn't know if it had to do with the fact that I love people. That's what I'm assuming, at least. I hope it's because he just said, hey, I want you to teach on redemptive community. But I'm going to go with it's because I love people. If you know me, my favorite thing about Sunday mornings is greeting you all, specifically at the 9 a.m., well, half of you, I should say, at door one. Door one is my favorite place on earth on a Sunday. Me and Dale Shaw probably are a little aggressive at door one sometimes, but it's typically because, see, we have a clap over there, because they know it's true. You might have a little bit of anxiety coming into door one when Dale and I are there, but it's typically because I've had a lot of coffee, and Dale and I have pumped each other up to be at door one. We love being there. But in all honesty, I get to see redemptive community play out at door one. I get to see you all walk in every single week. I've heard it said that the introverts go to door five and the extroverts go to door one. You're more than welcome to park wherever you'd like. I know that there's great men and women over here as well. So, community. We have a variety of different places that we see community. I'll go through a few. Community pools. Typically, these clog your neighborhood Facebook page with teenage kids being rowdy. Or maybe someone left their towel there and they're asking one of your community members to bring it to you. Community centers. These are filled with sporting events, maybe different kinds of activities for the community, maybe daycares, places of community in which people gather for a common purpose. Community service. Maybe someone has gotten in trouble and the punishment is that you have to serve those within your community to pay back whom you've wronged. Community fitness. This is a big one. If you're a part of F3, you're crazy, all right? You get up at 5 a.m. to go work out, and you all have nicknames, and you love it. Some of you, you do the CrossFit thing. You love it. Some of you, you go to your cycling class because it's the best thing that you do at 4:30 a.m. I think that you all are nuts. But that's okay. You generally find community in fitness. It's a good thing. You find community in sports. You find community in video games. You find community in different clubs across our city. My family, we find great community at the county fairgrounds in Boone County. We love it. We got one right there. We find and have community in all different types of locations. However, the community that we are going to be discussing this morning is a community that looks much, much different. I'd be lying if I sat here and said, though, that it is an easier community or a less messy one. But I can confidently say that the community we are discussing today is rooted in one thing, and it's his name, Jesus. That is the community we are going to be discussing today. And that community is found nowhere else. Redemptive community is not redemptive apart from Jesus. Let me say that again. Redemptive community is not redemptive apart from Jesus. Right out the gate, because of the redemptive work of Christ on the cross, the atonement for our sin on our behalf, the resurrection of Jesus, the only reason we can have redemptive community is because of Jesus. Redemption defined as the act of being saved from sin or from evil, being taken from one's former life and living another. Our whole life is forever changed because of redemption. It is our story of who we are in Christ. We went from death to life. We went from living one way to living another. Our life is hidden with Christ. Our purpose is not our own. We are to seek things that are above, which is where Christ is. Colossians 3:1. If you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. We are not to seek the things on earth. Redemption, friends, is where hope is found. Hope is not found anywhere else. Hope that our job will be our joy will fail. Hope that our marriage will be our ultimate satisfaction will disappoint. Maybe even hope that our sin will bring true pleasure will leave us feeling shame and hurt. Our hope is found in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Paul then speaks of having a mindset in verse 2. By the way, I'm going to try to go through verses 1 through 17 in 28 more minutes, okay? So hang on. Paul then speaks of a mindset in verse 2. He says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. So this morning, I want us to pause and consider, before we go any further, where is your mindset this morning? Are you walking in with a mindset on things above, or are you walking in with a mindset on things below? Are you walking into church with a mindset of wanting to grow in your relationship with Jesus? Maybe this morning you need to let the words of Christ fall over you and surrender to those words. Maybe you are here and you have a lot of questions, and I'd say that's a great place to be. Let's commit, church, to being a people who have our minds set on things above. So I'd actually like to practice what Paul is asking us to do right here and pray and set our minds on things above before we go any further. So would you pray with me? Lord, we come before you asking that we can set aside the things that we came in with this morning. The things that make us prone to wander, prone to distract. Help us, we pray, to set our minds on things of you and above this morning. Let those distractions fade and let us focus and have our mindset on you. In Jesus' beautiful name that we pray. Amen. In order to get what redemptive community is, we actually have to go back up to verse 5 in Colossians and discuss the things that we are to put off. The idea of putting off is not just something that we are shrugging off, but it is actually something that we are putting to death. The things that you left for yourself, you would do. The things that you are drawn to wander towards, like the hymn, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Such profound lyrics. The list that we are about to read is a little rough, but I think it's a great reminder for us to hear. Look at verse 5 with me. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them. But now, you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. This idea of putting off, we see it clear at the beginning that is to be put to death. If we are living under the lordship of Jesus Christ, these things will no longer be the things that define us. These things are not how Christians are to live. These things are things that we will no longer walk in. We are laying aside the old life that was in us. Jesus spoke in a similar manner in Matthew 5, where he said that if your right hand causes you to sin, tear it off and throw it away. Now, we know Jesus is not speaking literally here, because sin did not come from the eye, but from the heart, which is where evil lives. Did I say arm? I think I did. I'm going to read that again. That if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. That is what the Bible says. Not arm. And I'm going to say that sentence one more time. Now we know Jesus is not speaking literally here, because sin did not come from the eye, but came from the heart, which is where that evil lives. Alexander McLaren said, "It is far easier to cut off the hand, which after all is not me, than to sacrifice passions and desires, which, though they may be my worst self, are myself." It is the heart we are looking to change. It is Jesus we are needing to seek. Think about a game of hide and seek with me for just a moment. If you're a kid in the room, you love that game. I love that game. I love playing that game in my home. I am the best at it in my home. But imagine you're playing that game and you're hiding and the seeker stops seeking. Imagine the game. You're sitting in probably some closet somewhere and your knee's about to give out and your left leg is cramping because you are in the best spot ever, but you cannot give yourself up. But all the while, the seeker is taking a nap. No, the seekers go until the hider is found. Same way we are to pursue Jesus. We seek until the very end when we meet Jesus. Putting sin to death is not a one-time story in our life. It is a constant, present tense reality. If you see the list on these things of put off and you think, that doesn't scare me, or I don't really think that I have that problem, I have that under control in my life, friend, you should be terrified. The devil wants you to think that you don't have that problem. The devil wants you to think that you don't struggle with that anymore. The devil wants you to let your guard down. Church proverb says, "Can a man carry fire next to his chest and not be burned?" The answer is no. I read scriptures like this, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The devil so badly wants you to think that you've already put all those things off. But friend, it is a constant daily battle. I'm going to read the list one more time. Sexual immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk. This list, probably not the most encouraging thing you've heard all morning, not the most uplifting portion of your day, but it's really important. This, friends, is the list that we are apart from Christ. This list, we are all not far from. We are all one step away from being stuck in these things. I'd be a fool to not think that someone in this room is stuck. To think that there's someone in this room that has multiple of these things. I'm one step from being these things. You see, just like when we are seeking, there is something that you seek till found. So it is when you are putting something off or putting something to death, it is a present imperative. It is something that you will have to put off and put off and put off. I do not have the luxury to wake up in the morning and not have to battle pure thoughts, impure thoughts. I don't have that luxury. I have to battle. It is a daily battle, a daily put off. Paul speaks of the renewing of your mind. When you put these things off, it is what is happening. You are renewing your mind, just like Romans 12:2 says, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You are not renewing your mind in the things of this world or your hobbies or your work. You are renewing your mind in Christ and after the image of the Creator God, not yourself. Yourself is the reason you got yourself in the situation anyway. But the battle is not done alone or apart from help. Paul here actually calls us equals. He calls us Christians. He says we are no longer this or that, here or there, but we are all one in Christ. We are no longer about ourselves and our own identity, but we are about the identity of Jesus. This is who we are to look like. I'm so grateful Paul doesn't just leave us with the one list in verse 5. He doesn't just give us the negative side of all the things that we see wrong in the world and say, good luck, figure it out, I hope you can do it. He doesn't just say, hey, actually, just don't do those things. We've all been there. That's extremely unhelpful. Someone says, hey, don't do that, and you're going, but what do I do? It's very unhelpful. He says then, put on. Put on. So we're going from put off, now we're going to put on. And here's what he says to put on. As Christ chosen ones, holy and beloved, put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Praise God, there is a second list. You see, this list is the list of things that we are to put on. Back again to always putting on and always seeking, we are to pursue this type of living. Instead of anger, have kindness. Instead of covetousness, have meekness. Putting to death the things in your life that we do not want and putting on the things that the Lord calls us to live in. Church, I want to let you know something. So often we think that working harder will be the solution to our sin problem. So often someone sits in the counseling room and says, well, I need to work harder. Well, there are several problems with that solution. One, you're making it dependent upon you. Two, working harder is not what we find in this passage. Three, I don't think that's what the gospel message actually is. The gospel message is the good news that it wasn't up to you working harder. The gospel message is that Jesus did the work for you on the cross so you can have freedom and rest in him, not working harder. You see, I see the character traits that offer humility and meekness and kindness and love and patience. Bowing yourself before the Lord, as my friend Dale Shaw says, you got to go low before Jesus. Church, the beauty of redemptive community is that because of Christ, we have the ultimate example of what it looks like. The God-man, Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin on our behalf and took on flesh and death for the redemption of our sins. Humility, meekness, patience, that's who he is. How can we live out Colossians 3 in redemptive community? It is when your friend is sitting across the table from you, laying it all out there. And the first thing that comes to mind is not judgment. The first thing that comes to mind is love, is humility. Thinking, I could be in that seat. I deserve to be in that seat. Your first thought is having a compassionate heart for your brother or sister who is being vulnerable enough to say, I have problems and I need help. How about this? Listening, being slow to speak, being quick to listen, coming alongside someone when a friendship is hard. I'm going to share a quote with you, and most of us will laugh, but you're going to laugh because it's true. You ready? To live above with the saints we love, oh, that will be glory. But to live below with the saints we know, well, that is a different story. You laugh because you feel it. Living with people is hard. Often I have people ask me, Alex, what's your favorite thing about your job? And I say, oh man, the people. I love people. And they say, what's the hardest part about your job? And I'm like, ooh, the people. It's true. That's our life. People are our favorite, and people are the worst. They're hard. We're hard. I'm a person who needs help. You see, we all have a story. We all have a background. We all have experienced the hardship of this world, but we've also experienced the kindness and the meekness and the humility and the forgiveness from others, and that ought to make your heart rejoice. In Jesus, we have those things. In Christ, we have the ability to be those things. Our story is not our own. Our community is not our own. They are Christ's because of the redemptive work that he has done on the cross for us. As a church, we practice church discipline. One of the most painful things to walk through. But the ultimate goal is to have restoration and redemption in that individual. While painful, I think it is one of the most beautiful things that our church does. You see, when we walk through that process of church discipline, and then there's an ability to be a man or a woman standing right before you, saying, I've given all that away to the Lord. I want to be a part of this redemptive community. That is the ultimate celebration of redemptive community as a church. As a church, I have to do this. We love student ministries. And if you ever wanted to experience redemptive community, you should join a 7th grade boys small group. It's the best. There's a lot of refinement that happens in that small group room, both for yourself and for them. It is an experience. But I will, in all honesty, I will tell you, you will learn so much about what it means to be in a community when you are joining student ministries in 7th grade. It's a joy. I also debated sharing this in my scripture this morning, but some of you have read the Message version of the Bible by Eugene Peterson, and he just takes Colossians 3 and beautifully weaves it into a story. So if you have really good listening ears, I just ask you to listen carefully. It's quite lengthy, but I believe that we can be really edified by what we see here. So listen as I read this. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Jesus, act like it. Pursue things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. When Christ shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too, the real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. And that means killing off everything connected with the way of life, or with the way of death. Sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. It is because of this kind of thing that God is about to explode in anger. It wasn't long ago that you were doing all the stuff and not knowing any better. But you know better now, so make sure it's all gone for good. Bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, and dirty talk. Don't lie to one another. You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator God with his label on it. All the old-fashioned are now obsolete. Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider and outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave and free mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place. Quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as your master forgave you. And regardless of whatever else you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of your house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense, and sing, church, sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, action, whatever, be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. That's a beautiful story of our lives, of our story, if you are in Christ. I love Peterson's interaction with the garments of clothes. You get a custom-made clothes by the king. Love is like the old white undershirt maybe your dad kept for way too long, but it always worked and was always on. Maybe little pit stains. But I love how he says, don't ever be without it. Don't ever be without it. It's something that you should always have. I thought to myself, whenever I leave my home, I have three things. I have my phone, my wallet, and my keys. At least that's my attempt, okay? I try to have all three of those things. Usually I forget one. But do you leave your home without love? Do you enter into your home without love? Do you enter into your workplace without love? Do you enter into your school without love? Do you enter into your family party without love? Is love on the list everywhere you go? What does your wardrobe look like? What things are you putting on? What are the things you are characterized by? When we read Galatians 5 and the fruits of the Spirit, we see a very similar list to Colossians 3. We see a list that we are to live by, be characterized by. Again, those are the wardrobes that you are to put on. But Peterson reminds us that there's no longer this idea of running off and doing our own thing anymore. You stay in step with the Lord and with each other. There's a beautiful mindset of things that are above, a joy of following Jesus. Not seeing this list as a set of rules that we must follow, but seeing it as a mindset of following after the, as Eric said, heart of God. Having a mindset that is in the pursuit of God, a mindset of wanting to be like the character of God. John Piper says that this is a delight, not a duty. Following Jesus isn't a delight, but you don't do it out of duty. Lastly, it is amazing how we will end this morning is looking at the peace of Christ that we see in verse 15. This peace that Christ can only offer. Looking at things in the put-off list, those do not lead to peace. If I were to line a group of people up right here and they had all of the put-offs, and then I lined a group of people up and they were holding all of the put-ons, which one would you think has a more peaceful life? I think it's pretty simple. I think you'd say these people do not offer much peace. And then I think you would look at this list of people who have all the put-ons and say, I think that offers a lot of peace. The put-offs do not lead to that. Rather, they lead to destruction. That's why we're called to kill them and put them to death. It's the opposite of peace. So we started with a similar question about what is our hope? What is your hope? In a similar way, who or what is your peace? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, Colossians 3:15 says. Have you ever experienced the level of peace that only can come from God? It's unique. You'll know it. Or maybe as the old song we used to sing, a joy unspeakable that won't go away. We're surrounded by the opposite of peace. The gospel is the ultimate promotion of peace. Christians, we should blow others' minds with the peace that we have. Of one body, this church, imagine if College Park Church was known as a place of peace, a resting place for those who need to experience peace, a place where those who need community find redemption in Jesus and redemption with one another. That is what peace is. No matter the background, no matter the status, no matter the skin color, their income, their marital status, no matter their age, they experience the peace of Christ because of Christ and because of the saints at College Park. That is a great day. Another author or speaker that I follow says, we are not to follow God like he is our employer, but rather like he is our father. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts and be thankful. Church, I am so thankful that we are a congregation of believers who have one another. I love people because I see Jesus in people. I love people because at our best we are gentle, we are kind, we are gracious, we are merciful, we are strong, and so much more. When we see those things in one another and love them, we are honoring the Lord together. We have redemption because of Christ, not because of us. We have redemption in one another because of Christ, not because of us. So part of following Jesus together is breaking bread together. Both literally eating a meal together around a dinner table and partaking in communion with one another. So communion, think about that word, commune. Then think about what we've been talking about all morning, community. We celebrate this meal because of the redemption provided by Jesus in community together. We break bread and partake in the cup this morning because we celebrate and remember the work of Jesus. Some of you this morning are not a part of this redemptive community like we've been talking about all morning. You are following the world. If you are not a Christian, can I just kindly ask you to not partake in this meal together? However, if you're sitting there and you're like, I'm not a Christian, but I would love to have a discussion with someone about what that means to follow Jesus like you've been talking about, I want to put off my old self and put on my new self, there will be elders down here at the front that would love to talk to you about their King. So church, this morning, before we take communion, I just want to give us a moment to reflect on the things that maybe we need to put off and the things that we need to put on. So take a moment before we do the Lord's Supper and reflect.